Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
What is up, my fellow addicts? Ralph Sutton, the SDR Show. Really cool episode this week. You might know her from that crazy Playboy show years ago, Girls Next Door. It is Bridget Marquardt. She has her own podcast now, two of them. One where she's rewatching the show and with her fellow playmates. Is that the right word? I think it is. And one on Ghost, which Shannon's going to love. She gets into it. I felt like I was kind of a douchebag, but I think I come off all right. I don't know. She's hot. Who cares? If you were a fan of that show or a fan of Bridget, you could have heard it 5 days ago commercial-free at GasDigitalNetwork.com. Really, we just want you to listen everywhere. That's all. Tell people about the show. Get it out there. That's all that matters. Here it is right now, the Bridget Marquardt episode of The SDR Show.
This is the intro to the shit show. Sex, drugs, and rock and roll. This is the hit show. Show me a tit show. Please, someone walk the hole. It's beat, I beat. It's hookers and blow. It's art, it's art. You need to know.
It is the SDR Show, Sex, Drugs, and Rock and Roll Show. I am Ralph Sutton. Back with me once again, it is James Mattern, who still hasn't figured out how to fully cover his window with his drape.
I just, because I can't get a third drape because there's too much drape. It's just how it is. So I have to make cover with 80% of drape, which
does
is,
it, I imagine it fucks up your sleeping.
Well, I haven't been good at sleeping for 44 years, so why sleep? Why start now, Ralph?
Maybe if you covered your windows, it wouldn't be such a fucking problem. That's all I'm saying. All right, so.
Whoa, that tone, Ralph. It's just too much for me right now. I'm trying to find some real peace.
I know you had a rough morning. Okay, so let's bring this girl on right at the top of the show. Very excited to have her on. You probably know her from the wildly popular reality show years ago, Girls Next Door. 6 seasons of that, which is nuts, and various spinoffs and stuff, and a ton of other reality shows and stuff like that. But now, the podcast that's a watch-along for that show called Girls Next Level, and this, which makes Shannon ridiculously happy, her paranormal podcast as well called Ghost Magnet. And you also briefly see her on the A&E documentary, Secrets of Playboy. It is Bridget Marquardt. How are you? Thank you so much for coming on the show.
I'm good. Thank you for having me.
First of all, kudos to your background. It goes with that whole haunted vibe. I dig it. Is it anything specific, or you Googled haunted mansion-y looking stuff?
My background right here. Yeah. No, it's nothing specific. I wish I knew what this location was because I would want to be here.
Oh, you could probably do a reverse image search on that, right? Have you tried it?
Probably. I have not tried it.
Okay. That's what I'm here for. I'm here to give advice.
Give me advice.
Okay. So let's start right off with the new Girls Next Level podcast that you do with Holly together, mm-hmm. right? And it is you guys looking back at which it's hard, really. I didn't realize it was 6 years of that show. So at least you know you're doing this for 6 seasons. I guess that's a good way to look at it, right?
Yeah, so, there's a lot of material to cover.
So I want to start with that. Like, you are now, it's years ago. I don't know how many years ago the show was. Over a decade ago, maybe. Is that about right?
For when it first started, it was like 15 years ago.
So looking back, first of all, did you watch the show when it was live? When you were a kid 15 years ago and it was on, were you watching it every week, or you had no interest in watching it?
Yes, because we were living at the mansion and Hef would do a showing of the show, on Sunday nights after we watched the movie that night. He would show the newest episode of Girls Next Door.
Oh, okay. So you were almost like, it was part of the weekly, routine. Sundays, we're going to watch this.
Yes.
Okay. And now looking back a decade and a half later, are you forgetting it? We get into all the different nuances of it, but are you thinking that you are pretty much the same person still? Are you wildly different now? Are you embarrassed? Are you thrilled? Like, or is it a mixture of all that shit?
You know what? I'm not sure yet because I've only watched a couple of episodes. Mm-hmm. our podcast is starting out, like we're doing a lot of prequel because there's a lot that happened before we even started doing the show. There's a lot that got us to even why we were involved in Playboy in the first place. We lived at the mansion for 3 years before we were even shooting a show. So there was just a lot of material to cover before that. And we're just now starting to like watch the episodes. Well, Holly's been doing it for a while, but I was just recently watching episode 1, 2, and 3. Wow. And I have not seen them since we did commentary on them, which is after every season we would do like go into a recording studio and do commentary. And so I have not seen them in like 15 years.
Wow. That is pretty wild. That is really, really wild.
It's so pretty crazy watching them back.
You mentioned this in an interview that even at the age of 4, somehow you knew you wanted to be in Playboy magazine, right?
Yes.
So can you kind of, that seems wild to me that a 4-year-old girl A, would even know what the fuck Playboy is, but as a second part, it's like, oh, I want to do that. Can you, like, how did that come about?
Okay, so my dad had the magazines, the subscription. They weren't hidden or anything like that. They were just around. And so I knew that they were his magazines and that I wasn't really supposed to look at them, but like it did, you know, I didn't really know why. Like, it wasn't about the sex thing for me when I would flip through them, sneak and stuff. I just thought that they were beautiful women and I wanted to be like that someday. I wasn't thinking of it being a sex thing or even something that would ever really happen. I just wanted to look like that someday.
Were you, and I know, look, obviously you're a beautiful woman, but when you were a kid, did you like blossom into being beautiful? Were you one of these girls that got prettier when they finally like hit puberty and you weren't attractive? Like, what made a 4-year-old girl think she wasn't pretty?
Well, is a 4-year-old girl pretty? I don't know.
I mean, why you would think you're not like, oh, one day I can be this, you know what I mean? Like, it just seems like a weird thing to be thinking at four years old.
Yeah. Well, I think
James is dying to say something. Yes, James.
Well, I got your back, can I answer that first?
Oh, go ahead. Yes, yes.
I have my
theories, and I'm going to attack Ralph. So it's going to be fun. It's going to be a win-win for everyone, Bridget. We're all going to walk with a W except for Ralph, please.
Okay, good. But I just want to say, I think every little girl wants to be beautiful when she grows up, whether it's a princess or a pageant winner, Miss America, whatever. My standard of beauty that I saw in those magazines was Playboy.
Okay, that makes sense. I like that answer. I'm fine with that. I guess that makes sense.
It's a
goddamn answer, Bridget.
Go ahead, James. Now shit on me, James. Go.
Well, no, she probably, I mean, her self-esteem was probably fine as a 4-year-old. It's just you want to keep progressing as
I'm just saying that
as a beauty.
Mean, like,
so like when I hit a jump shot when I was 9, I wanted to keep hitting jump shots and keep getting better. So I didn't think I was peaking at 4 or 9. So there you go, Ralph. Take that. Team Bridget and James for the goddamn W, baby.
I would say this. Bridget, in James's world, I think he kind of did peak at 9 years old.
Oh, you should have seen me at 9 years old. No tooth. No tooth right here. Age 8 to 14. My family didn't give a goddamn about it.
So now I'm curious, like, so we'll move forward to where did you actually, how did you get into the house? I know, which I think is fucking batshit crazy. You guys didn't have contracts for most of the times you were on that show. It, like, they try to tell you guys, oh, it's just part of being a Playboy model. Like, I mean, that boggles my mind that they were able to even get away with that is fucking crazy to me. So before we even get into that, how did you find your way into the Playboy Mansion?
First time I was at the Playboy Mansion was I was there testing for Playmate. There was they were doing the Millennium search and they were having a casting call in San Francisco. I went to it. 2 weeks later, I got a call back saying, we think you have Playmate potential. We want to fly you out to LA and stay at the mansion, meet Hef. We're going to do like full hair makeup down at the studios and a photo shoot. And I was so excited. I mean, I couldn't even stand it. So that was my first time at the mansion.
That's wild. I mean, that had to be like a dream come true, especially since you're 4 years old. So that you do that. I know that you tested twice and you didn't get in initially, right? Is that right?
Yes. But I tested once and I waited a year and a half to hear back and did not make it. And then later, after I moved into the mansion, I was able to test one more time. Mm-hmm. And the first photo shoot I did, I don't love the photos, but the second test I did, I love the photos. I look at them today and I still love them.
The first one, the first test never made it into a magazine or anything, but you have them?
No, it did make it into a magazine, but they never told me. Like, I found out through friends that they like published my test photos.
Wow. It just seems, which I hate to feel this way, because I don't know anything about the world of Hef and all the stuff, but it seems like they were awfully corrupt about hiding shit. Like the fact that you didn't have a contract, the fact that your pictures got published and you're unaware of it. It just seems crazy that they're able to get away with all that.
Yeah, well, I think when you go in for the test, those pictures they automatically own and they can do whatever they want with them. So even if you don't get picked, they can still use them. And that's what happened to me.
Right. That's really crazy. Yes, James.
So when you don't get, like, the first time you don't get it and you go back to second. So like if I don't get an audition, I have spite or I think of what I can do to hit it next. What do you do when it's like pitch? Like, how do you prep for a second time? What do you do in like that year and a half, 2 years in between that can be different?
I mean, working out, lightening my hair color, just like what you think they want that they're looking for.
Right. I guess
learning to
sense.
Pose better, you know, like just different things like that.
And could it also just be maybe the photographer that you're with the first time wasn't one that you gelled with? Isn't it that it could be that simple as well?
Yeah, you know what? I think I was really, really nervous. And I think that I thought the photographer was wonderful. I thought all the people there were wonderful. I thought the setting wasn't right for me. It was something kind of out of my comfort zone and not really part of my aesthetic. But I think most of it was just being really, really nervous and really out of my element, even though it was something I really wanted to do. The first time you're like standing nude in front of like a crew of people and, you know, it's scary. And when you want it so bad too, it's extra scary because you want to do it right. And you want to look good and you want to have a great experience and you want it to work, you know? So there's a lot of pressure.
It's crazy. So then you get into the mansion and you're there, which I didn't know this until researching. You're there for 3 years before the show starts and stuff like that. In that time, are you loving mansion life? Is it like every dream come true? Or there's a lot, because I know the documentary touches on it, but you said your experience was very different than a lot of the other girls. You don't have as many negative memories. So were you enjoying it? Like, this is the life, I'm so happy I'm here? Where there's ups and downs with it?
Well, yes and no. So as far as the mansion goes, I loved living at the mansion. I loved the staff. I loved Hef. I loved a lot of the girls that were there. I loved so much of it. The downs were really the other girls, especially in those first 3 years. It was very, very catty and very, very stressful. And there were so many times that I wanted to leave. And it had nothing to do, in my opinion, it had nothing to do with Hef or the mansion or Playboy. It had to do with just like vicious other women, you know, and the backstabbing and eavesdropping and all the things, like just trying to kind of like Survivor, trying to get people kicked off, you know?
What do you think what is that about? Like, it is wild. You hear that story all the time. Women are catty with other women. Like, even I try to do a lot of research and I watched a clip of you where you said, you know, the first time you end up being physical with Hef, a girl said to you, either you do this or you're never coming back. Like, just the fact that a girl is that shitty to you in the moment is just, it boggles my mind. Do you think they were all just trying to compete to get into that better position and maybe seducing more women gave them more clout with Hef? I'm trying to figure it out.
That 100% did, especially for that person who kind of fulfilled that role. But for other girls, nobody was trying to get the number one position because most people don't want that position.
Okay.
So I don't think anybody was trying for that. It's just that, you know what, when we're on the podcast, Holly and I are trying to figure it out. We're trying to like go, why did it have to be so bad? And we're like trying to talk through everything, trying to figure it out. And I honestly don't know the answer to that. I feel like there was a million times that we tried to, especially me, I tried to reach across the line and, you know, let's go hiking, like things that we had in common. Oh, I love the way you do your makeup. Can you show me how you do that? Like trying to make friends. And that only made things worse because then the other girls would get even more pissed at that person. And then that person would have to act extra bitchy to me to show that she's not friends with me. And so it would just get worse and worse and worse. And I think what it boils down to is there were two different camps and two different people that wanted two different things out of it. So Holly and I, at that time, we were truly into Hef's schedule. We liked watching the old movies. We liked going down to buffet dinner and hanging out with all his friends and doing those things. Whereas the other girls were there because they wanted to go on the red carpets and out to the hottest clubs and, you know, get things, materialistic things out of it and stuff. So if Christmas wasn't as good as it was the year before, they were pissed and it's Holly's fault because she's not pushing for better gifts. And the last first girlfriend would have done that and those kinds of things.
Wow,
so I think there was just like a lot of, and the more that Holly and I participated in things, that, by the way, we were supposed to participate in because we live there.
Right.
And that made them look worse. So,
oh, in their eyes, at least, right? But in,
they, well, no, it did though, because Hef would be like, "Oh, hey, you guys are here. Where's the other girls?" And he would run upstairs and be like, "How come you're not down for buffet? How come you're not doing this? How come you're not doing that?"
How many girls at any given moment were living in the mansion?
Probably about seven. I mean, let me see, about seven. I mean, there were extra bedrooms. Every once in a while, there'd be a little bit extra overflow and stuff, but it was typically seven. But sometimes there'd be more of us going out and people vying for positions. Like sometimes there'd be 12 girls all stuffed in the limo.
All right. And I'm going to ask some questions that, you know, these I find fascinating. Is it true that there was a 9 p.m. curfew? You had to be in the mansion by nine. And is it because Hef was 80 and he just went to bed at nine? Is that why that was?
There was a 9 o'clock curfew and you did have to be on the mansion property at 9 p.m. But it's not because Hef was 80 and went to bed at that time. He actually stays up quite late and sleeps in. Mm-hmm. So he's up and he knows if you're on the property or not. The security will call it into the pantry. The butlers will write down exactly what time you're on the property.
That's wild. And did, if you were going to leave for any given reason, did it have to be cleared? Like I'm going shopping. I'm going to do this. You got to let them know. Or did you have free reign until 9 p.m.?
Well, you pretty much had free reign until 9 p.m. He appreciated it if they had whiteboards on the outside of our doors. If you wrote down like what you were up to, so like running errands, that's all. You didn't have to be super specific, but just like running errands or at the salon or whatever. So he appreciated if you wrote those things down, but it wasn't like, if you didn't, it wasn't mandatory.
Go ahead, James. You're gonna
what if you showed up late, like past nine? Like, can you not? Do you just go to the Holiday Inn for the night? See you in the morning, guys.
Oh, that would be even worse. You would just come in late and you would get the wrath. It happened to me one time. I went to dinner with my sister. I thought we had enough time. We were in Burbank having dinner. It was getting close. They were taking forever. And I was like freaking out. And I got home at like just a couple minutes after nine. And he came into my room and threw the door open and like freaked out on me.
You were a grown up. You can't go get drinks at the Viper. Like, what are you doing? Like, what's going on?
It wasn't even that. My sister and I went to Black Angus and Burger King. Burbank for dinner.
Did you ever try and have that discussion?
Black Angus, like, what are we doing?
I don't know how old. let's say you were 25 at the time. I'm making up an age. I don't know how old you were at the time, but let's say you were 25, and you say, "Look, I'm 25 years old. I'm so my sister. What is the big fucking deal?" Or you couldn't even have that conversation.
No, you can't have those conversations. The rules were the rules. Like, you had to be home by 9 o'clock.
Did girls get kicked out that showed up late? Like, if a girl showed up late 3 or 4 times, she gets kicked out, or they just didn't do it?
I don't know if anybody ever got kicked out over it, but they definitely got in trouble.
Like, trouble in what context? Was there like rationing your food? Like, what? What'd they
do? No, just like
rationing
yelled
the food would be amazing. You get 2 carrots tonight, hon. You only get 2. Go to your goddamn bed.
Just yelled at, you know, and in trouble. I don't know if anybody ever got kicked out. Not that I know of. And I don't know if anybody else ever had any worse repercussions from it. Mm. But for me, it was just getting like reprimanded.
All right, so I guess I have to sit logically, and maybe I'm wrong, and I'd love to hear this. Would you, I assume the good far outweighed the bad, or you would have left, right? Is that
absolutely
a fair assessment?
Yeah. Yeah, that, absolutely.
You think all 7 of you would say the same thing? Or do you, I know because Holly said she thinks she had Stockholm syndrome a little bit with Hef, right? I read that in an interview with her. So do you think more girls, if you had the 7 girls that were living with you at the time, if you polled them all, you think most of them would have said, yeah, the good outweighed their bad. There was some ridiculous shit, but I got to stay in a mansion. I got all my stuff taken care of, and that's why I stayed. Is that, you think, the most people would say?
I mean, I don't want to speak for what everybody else would say. I have no idea how they feel about it, especially looking back on it. I don't know how they feel about it. But for me, I would say 100% the good outweigh the bad, or I would have left.
Right. That makes sense. That makes a lot of sense.
There was so much positive, too. You know, I mean, everybody wants to talk about the curfew.
No, I'm sure. Yeah, I'm sure there was, or else you would, you know, you're a smart girl. You would have been fucking out of there. Why wouldn't you? That's how I always looked at it. The good must have outweighed the bad.
Yeah. I mean, we got so many crazy opportunities that, I mean.
Right.
They were incredible. So there's so many good memories too.
The one thing that is weird though, that I touched on top of the show, it is ridiculous that you guys not only never had a contract, your names weren't even in the fucking credits of the show.
Right?
Right. That's crazy.
Ballsy.
They'd say your names on the show, but you were just like, that to me, that's, and I don't mean to speak ill of the dead, but that probably was all Hef, right? I would think so.
I mean, I don't know. When a show goes through something like that, you've got the network, you've got producers, you've got Playboy, you've got Hef. There's so many people involved in that. At some point, you would think somebody would be like, oh, you know what? We need to give these girls, at least something. Put their name in the
credits. The only reason why I ever watched the fucking show was because of you three. I'm not watching for him. Made no sense.
But that's not what they told us. They said that this show is about Hef's life and you guys just happen to live here, but you're replaceable.
That's fucking crazy. That is really wild. That's so insane.
Yeah, Jesus, no one was Christ. Like, hey, pipe it down. I'm trying to watch Hef.
I get to hear the insight show that Hef is going to bring to the table right now. Let's hear this.
Yeah, I can't wait for Hef to break down Casablanca again. His review.
Well, and Hef said he didn't really want to, you know, he was too busy to do a show and didn't really want a lot of part in it. So it was definitely left on us to do it, but they still felt that we were replaceable.
That's crazy. It is crazy. And I know, I don't want to, I feel like I'm touching on too many sensitive subjects, so I apologize, but you're obviously good friends with Holly still. You're doing this podcast together. Mm-hmm. And Kendra seems to be separated from the two of you. Is that a fair assessment?
Yes, especially her and Holly have had some falling outs mm-hmm. in the past. I was still on good terms with Kendra. I mean, not that we hang out all the time or anything like that, but I feel like I could text her mm-hmm. if I ever needed anything or had a question, and same with her. And we have reached out to each other before. So we're not estranged in any way. If right. I saw her, I'd give her a hug and be happy to see her, but we don't hang out on a regular basis. But her and Holly have been estranged for a while.
I imagine that, as you said, there was like this two camps at the mansion. When the three of you got the show, it had to make it a lot worse. Like all the other girls must have really resented that. Is that fair?
Well, the other girls were gone by then. When we got Kendra, the other girls got the boot.
Oh, meaning there was just the three of you in the house during the show?
It was just the three of us.
Oh, I didn't realize that. There's no other girls living there at the time.
No.
Oh, well, that must have made it a little bit easier. That makes sense.
Yes. And we, for a lot of that time, we got along really, really well, the three mm-hmm. of us. It really that's was cool. like a family.
Yeah, that's at least that part sounds nice. That's cool. I mean, that's good to know. All right, before we go any further, you know these guys. We love these guys. It is Yo Kratom, YoKratom.com. We've been fans forever. They've been sponsors forever. They sponsor Skankfest. They've been sponsoring the SDR show for a long time. And the coolest thing about them, you know it, you get to buy a kilo of Kratom for just $60. $60 kilos of Kratom all day. Not only that, high quality curated Kratom, their own strains, amazing customer service, and you won't find better prices anywhere. Just go to YoKratom.com, home of the $60 kilo and the official sponsor of the SDR show. So are there episodes that you remember that you're like, oh my God, this is going to be a rough one to watch when you're rewatching the show? Like you think about it like, oh fuck, season 3, episode 9, that was fucked. Like, does that, I'm just making up numbers there, by the way, but is that a something in your mind?
You know, I'm trying to think back on them, and most of the memories that I have, I feel like, oh, this is going to be so much fun to rewatch the shows and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But I watched episode 1, 2, and 3 mm-hmm. so that Holly and I could start recording on it. And I was devastated by watching episode 2. I mean, totally just torn apart. I told Holly, I don't think I can do this.
Wow.
Like I remember that it was sort of harsh on me that, but I kind of put it out of my head how bad it was. And I was like in tears and I told her, I can't do this. I do not want to relive this. Like, I cannot do this. And it has nothing to do with Hef or Playboy, because a lot of people take these clips and make it sound like Bridget was traumatized by Playboy and stuff. And it wasn't this. So I want to make it clear that it wasn't Hef. It wasn't the mansion. It was specifically the way I was edited in that episode. Mm-hmm. And I, looking back on it now, I think it was totally unfair. And it was me being vulnerable and honest about things. And it's really hurtful to watch back now.
Do you have in the 6 years a favorite moment that you're like, oh, I can't wait to watch this episode because that was so much fun?
Yes, I have a couple of them that I can't wait to watch. One of them is jumping out of the cake for Hef's 80th birthday.
That's cool.
Because that was one of the coolest things that I mean, I trained for like a month for that with Catherine DeLish. She's like a star burlesque dancer. And Captain Bob, who was Mary, if you remember Mary from the show, her husband helped me build the cake and we were painting it. And the mansion pastry chef was helping me do the frosting on it. Like, it was just like such an amazing, the all around amazing experience, from even just like, you know, setting up for it and getting ready for it to actually doing it. And I just felt like it was really incredible. And the other scene that I'm super excited about is I was also doing trapeze later on down the road, and I got to go and perform with Cirque du Soleil in Vegas.
Wow.
With That's the O cool show. Shit. So those are like incredible, incredible opportunities that I got to do because of the show, because of Hef, because of Playboy.
Right. I mean,
and stupid, I can't wait to watch those back.
Stupid question. How long were you inside the cake before you got to pop out?
It felt like forever. You know, when they actually pulled me out, it got scary because, you know, in all my rehearsals, I can hear the music, but there were so many people at Hef's 80th birthday party that I was in that cake and I couldn't hear the music. Mm-hmm. And at some point I just thought, I have to pop. I just have to pop right now. And I popped. And luckily, I don't even know how, it was on key with the music. So I don't know how that even happened.
By the way, I
would feel
pop,
like Uma Thurman in Kill Bill. I would just feel like I'm in a casket. Also, real quick, are you scared at all of popping out of a cake for an 80-year-old? I'd be like, this is going to be cool, but God damn.
Bridget Margaret killed Hef at the 80th birthday.
That'd be a lot to live with, my dear.
I wasn't scared, but he didn't realize it was me at first, and he kept telling Holly, where's Bridget? She's missing this.
Well, that's great.
That's really funny. That's really wild. Okay, so now, to move to your other podcast, which I know is going to make Shannon happy, is Ghost Magnet, right? So, The things that first would to transition, interestingly, you believe the Playboy Mansion is haunted.
Yes.
Was there a specific experience in the mansion? I want to get into, you said you think you're visited by Hef's ghost, but first let's start with the mansion. Why do you think the mansion is haunted and who do you think is haunting it?
Well, I'm not the only person that thinks the mansion's haunted. There are lots of ghost stories and lots of things that the staff feel and see and sense. And, you know, specifically in the game house, there is housekeeping that doesn't like to go out there alone unless security or some of the butlers come out there with them. They said that the games start up on their own and they've heard the door slam. And there is a weird vibe in the game house. I've never had an experience out there, but there definitely is a weird vibe out there. There's an OG ghost story that Hef told me about the original owner, Mrs. Letts, possibly dying in the house.
Wow.
I don't know whether that's 100% true or not. Holly said that later somebody said it was all just made up. I don't really know. But I will say that I was in my room one night. I had just gotten back from filming in North Carolina to see my brother in the army. And I brought my dog home. It was the first day I brought my puppy home with me. And my puppy was like in like one of those little set up cage things at the end of the bed and sound asleep. And my friend Stacy was at the end of my bed and my sister was next to me. We're all sitting on the bed with the TV going. We're telling her all about our trip, sipping on wine. And all of a sudden in the doorway to my closet, there's a woman standing there and there's no entrance. From my closet goes to my bathroom and there's no like other exit there. So if somebody's standing there, they have been there, you know? So I gasped, but I wasn't the only one. Like Stacy saw it. My sister saw it too.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And there was a huge reaction. My sister started crying. Stacy's such a scaredy cat that she was like, oh my God, oh my God. I don't want to know what that was. I don't want to know what that was. Like just freaking out. And then it's always out of the corner of your eye too. And when you turn and look, it's gone. But what I saw was a woman with kind of black, thin, sort of stringy hair, very pale, wearing a white t-shirt and like kind of black acid washy type jeans. So she's more modern day, not like a vintage ghost or anything like that. Like so many are.
Maybe a 1980s playmate or something. Right.
Actually I recognized her when I went there to test that first time. There was a woman downstairs and she was one of Hef's social secretaries and she was really, really sweet. And we stayed up way too late one night just talking and really hit it off. And she told me that she knew I'd be back and that she knew I was going to make it. And we just had like a great time. And then later when I did come back, I found out that she had passed away of cancer. And I'm pretty sure that's her. It was her.
And it was seen by you and the other two women in the room with you. You all saw the same image. You all could verify we saw the same image.
My sister said she wouldn't, she didn't look, but she saw something.
Okay.
And Stacy said, I don't know what I saw, but I saw something move over there.
Wow. Okay. That's pretty wild that all three of you saw that. I'm sure that's making Shannon really happy right now.
Well, and then there's other things. Like Holly said she didn't believe in ghosts, and we were sitting on my floor scrapbooking one day. We had the TV on just as background noise. The remote was up on the bed. Like I said, we're sitting on the floor doing all the scrapbooking. She's like, I really want to believe. I've just never had anything happen. And all of a sudden my TV went to like full volume, like crazy. And I jumped up and I turned it down. And I said, I think that was a sign for you.
That's wild. That's cool. I like it. Your show, Ghost Magnet, are you bringing in people to talk about their experiences or what's
yes.
That's what you're doing.
Yeah. Every episode I have some person on who's either an author who's written a book on a location or has their own stories or somebody from the TV world who, you know, has their own ghost hunting show or a psychic medium who talks to the other side, like just somebody who has amazing ghost stories every week. I also bring in like people like Dr. Grayson and we talk about near death experiences and he's been studying that for 40 years now.
Wow.
So I'll try and bring on as many professionals and people in the science base of it all to try and get all kinds of different stories.
That's great. It's really wild. I, you know, it's funny that I am a skeptic galore, but I am a big advocate of saying, I just don't know the right answer. I don't like to ever take any real stance on anything because everything we think we know changes every fucking decade. So who the fuck
yeah.
knows?
Yeah. Nobody yeah. knows the answer.
Yes, James.
No, I was just agreeing. I mean, sometimes I just agree with you, Ralph. You are
that's
a sensible
rare.
Man.
It's very rare.
I also do love that with my journalism degree, you're my favorite journalist because you there's not too many journalists who would say fuck twice in one sentence. This is Ed Bradley's ghost is looking yeah. down, smiling at you, sir.
Fair enough. Thank you. So now you recently said, I don't know when Hugh Hefner, when he passed away, but is it 5 years ago? Is that about right? I don't even know.
Yeah.
Okay. So you said you were visited by his ghost. How recently was that?
Well, kinda. It depends on who you ask. What happened is I had a dream mm-hmm. and in that dream, I drove up to the mansion and, it was very weird and eerie. It was like he was gone, but yet there was still some things going on. Like, I went up and I went into the, what we called the Mediterranean room. And they told me, wait for him there. And it's like, there was nobody there, but yet security let me in. And like a butler told me to wait for him in there, but yet no one was there. You know how dreams, they just don't really make sense. And I was sitting in there and the music was playing because he liked like 1940s style music. And that was always playing at the mansion.
That's right.
And I was waiting and all of a sudden I hear his footsteps coming down the stairs and I turn to look and here he comes and he has his arms out wide and he says, my darling. And he gave me a big hug and I could smell his cologne. Mm-hmm. I could feel his smoking jacket. Like it was on another level of a dream that I've never had before. That was so real that when I woke up, it really felt like it just happened.
Like there's other senses were involved too, not just the visual. You smelled things, you touched things.
Yes.
It felt more three-dimensional.
Yeah. And there was something about it too, that just felt like, no, I was there. That just happened. And I've never had anything like that before. And, I mean, it was crazy. I told my fiance now, I was like, that I just had the weirdest dream. And it's like stuck with me so much. And I don't even remember dreams typically. Like, even if I wake up remembering dreams, the second I were to grab my phone or a pen to try and write it down, I lose it. Like, I do not remember dreams at all. So the fact that I remember that one so vividly too, still, I mean, it was really, really crazy. And so depending on who you ask, a lot of people say it's because that wasn't just a dream. Like he visited right. you. He was... Yeah. You know,
so now, what's going on with the actual mansion now? It's not Playboy, but doesn't have the mansion anymore, right?
No. So it was bought by a guy and he has completely gutted it. I mean, if you look, there's overhead pictures of it and everything is dug up. There's no water in the pool or grotto. The entire grounds are just dug up.
So he bought the land and he's gutting it all.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's pretty wild. That's a fucking piece of history that's gone. That's crazy.
Well, he did say that he would keep the outside, because there was like a city council meeting where people wanted to make it a historical monument,
mm-hmm.
not because of Heff, but because it was one of the first English Gothic Tudor mansions in right. the area. And they lost that, but the guy who bought it said, but I'll leave the outside structure the way it looks. Like, it'll still look like that.
Oh, okay. That's, so he's gutting it. The gut renovation, as they say, right? That's yes. interesting.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Also, and again, I feel like I bring up a lot of negative things, and I apologize, but Playboy cut ties with Heff, right? The entity of Playboy and Hugh Hefner, like, they disavowed him at some point. Is that right? Do you know, or am I wrong?
You know what? I don't know any of the details of all that stuff, but I do believe that Playboy kind of went its own direction and has become more of a just a brand now. I don't really know. I don't really know what's going on with all
Which podcast are you enjoying more, doing Girls Next Level or doing the Ghost one?
Oh gosh, that's hard to say. Holly and I have so much fun, like, reminiscing and talking about things, and the time goes by so fast. I mean, sometimes we're like, oh my God, it's been an hour. We have to, like, wrap this one up. I'll talk ghosts anytime, any day, anywhere. So
Shannon so fucking happy right now. That's all she wants
right now.
Yeah, she's losing her mind right now. It's pretty wild. All right. So then I'm gonna ask you a couple other quick questions. Just in doing research, these things fascinate me. You said this recently in an interview, or at least you or Holly, but it's like that Hefner would often fake cry if he wasn't getting what he wants with a girl. Is that true?
It is true.
At 80 years old, how good was his acting chops?
It wasn't that convincing. That's why you were kind of confused when it was happening, because you're like, wait, is he fake crying right now? But yeah, he would, if you were kind of like having, I don't want to say an argument, but like going back and forth and disagreeing with each other on something, and he felt like it wasn't going in his favor, he would start crying and say, why are you doing this?
That's wild. That's really wild.
What do you do from there? You're like, wait, Heff is crying right now? I don't know. Weird. I got to back off now.
I'd want a full tantrum. Throw yourself on the ground, 80-year-old. Then yeah. I'll stop. My opinion.
It was just not.
But then be the devotion. Then would I would tear, definitely would change be my
actual,
opinion. Goddamn.
Actual tears or just like...
No, it'd be more like... just like dabbing here
That's wild. And also I read, which was funny, that you said Quaaludes were a big part of it, and then one day they were just not a part of it anymore, and my initial reaction was, yeah, because nobody makes fucking Quaaludes anymore. They're probably gone. Holding on to a resource that he had from the 1960s, and they're gone now.
Yeah, that could be why it stopped. I don't even know. It just seemed like one day they were there and one day they weren't.
I don't even know what, James, you probably know better than I don't even know what a fucking Quaalude is. What is a Quaalude?
That's what I said. What is it? What does it really do?
Well, apparently you two are not fans of Martin Scorsese's modern classic, The Wolf of Wall Street, every other word. It's like, I got a stock tip.
I don't know what it is, though.
Court.
Exactly.
I just still don't know what it is.
So these were they were initially antidepressants, and they would numb you, or actually they were to help you sleep. But if you fight the sleep urge for 30 minutes, you get an unbelievable high. But I think it's kind of like GHB? It's almost like a date rapey type thing where people just kind of forget what they're doing and shit. And that's one of the big issues, because I believe that's what Bill Cosby was just dinking and dunking, that son of a bitch.
The two words you don't hear anymore are Quaaludes and barbiturates. You don't really hear either of those words, those drugs.
I can tell you that they were sedatives, and I've heard it explained before that it's kind of like being, when you take it, you're automatically like your five drinks in, like the good happy drunk that you get to, but that you get there immediately when you take the pill.
Oh, that's interesting.
Did you ever take a shitload like people did? They were absolute messes, apparently.
I've never. Did you enjoy the high of a Quaalude? Is that an enjoyable high, Bridget, or you didn't do it much?
I never took it.
Oh, okay.
So at first I declined it, but then I was told not to decline it by the other girls. It's like, just take it, but I don't have to, you know, not take it in my mouth, but like just take it and put it in my purse or whatever. So I did. And somewhere I have a stockpile of those.
That's awesome.
So all you big fans of Wolf of Wall Street, if you've been looking for these,
all your Quaalude seekers,
Bridget, get some side cash, yo.
I don't even know where they are.
DM Bridget to become a Quaalude side deals. There you go. Side hustle. That's a good deal. That's pretty wild. Are you generally clean? You don't do anything, or was it just you didn't do Quaaludes?
No, I don't really do any drugs, and especially didn't at that time. I had smoked pot. Mm-hmm. Is this my drug question?
Not yet. Not yet. Sorry,
just
got
a gun.
I kind of jumped.
I know.
Superior jumped a gun.
All right, so I'm going to circle back to this. So you just mentioned your fiance, right?
Yes.
That I think you're together, and I could be wrong, but I try 14 or 15 years. Is that right?
Yeah, 14. 14 next month.
So here's the weird thing. You were with him throughout the time of being on the show, or no? You met towards the end of the show, or what?
We met towards the end of the show. So we met earlier in the year, but it wasn't like a dating thing or anything like that. Like, I thought he was cute, and I'm not going to lie, there's some little flirting going on, but it wasn't until like October of 2008. And I moved out. I was fully moved out in January of 2008.
Oh, so, okay. That's cool.
Yeah, it was towards the end. I was already like leaving most of the time, shooting Bridget's Sexiest Beaches, and inviting him to the party. So Hef knew him and everything too. So,
well, that's cool. But now at 14 years in, are you're engaged finally, or does he finally pop the question? Or
we've been engaged for a while now. We just haven't done it.
Oh, okay. Well, you could do it in a haunted mansion somewhere. That would be fucking cool.
That's what I want.
Yo. Idea of the day, baby.
That'd be cool as shit. That would be wild.
Mm-hmm.
And then obviously you were only in one episode of The Secrets of Playboy, which was a big docuseries. They came out last year. I could be wrong on that. But you said in an interview that your narrative was different, and that's why you're in it so little, because your answers didn't fit the show. Mm-hmm. So do you think, I mean, maybe it's because you stayed away from the drugs and you kept yourself separate, that maybe that's why you didn't go down that rabbit hole. Is that a possibility, or am I just being crazy?
I don't know. I think that show had a very specific thing they wanted to portray about Hef and the mansion. And I'm not saying those things didn't happen. They just weren't my experience. And when they wanted me to do the show, I told them that I didn't think that my story fit their narrative. Like, obviously, there's going to be a few negative stories that I have. I was there for 7 years. Not everything is perfect.
Right.
But for the most part, I look back on it fondly. All of my memories. And they were like, that's okay. You know, we're not trying to like do a negative portrayal. We're trying to show all different sides of it.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, are you though? Like, I wasn't really sure. And I didn't want to do it. But then my agent at the time and other people were encouraging me to go on and tell my side of the story, because I haven't really talked about my experiences at Playboy much. And so I agreed to do it. And it was like they had me there at like 8 a.m. and shooting till 8 p.m. They got a ton of stuff. And then they barely used it, and only to corroborate Holly's stories that, you know, that's the only thing they, I didn't even watch it, but that's what I was told is the only thing that they used out of my 12-hour interview.
What was the catalyst for you leaving the mansion? Was it the show stopping, or was it that you just felt it was time? When was the decision, and did all three of you leave at the same time?
We all three pretty much left at the same time, give or take, you know, a month or so, I think. I was already going to leave because I got the Travel Channel show, Bridget's Sexiest Beaches. So I was already like thinking that was the beginning of the end for me, like I was going to be out. But I was down to continue shooting Girls Next Door, even if it meant that I was kind of living there part time or not. Like, maybe they want to film me on my doing my own life and how it comes back to the mansion and that kind of thing. But I was open for whatever. Kendra was already leaving because she was getting married and was pregnant, and she was packing up her room and leaving. And that left Holly, and Holly was, you know, already falling out of love and was ready to move on too. I know at one point I was packing and Hef came in and said, you know, you don't have to do this. And I said, and he already had Crystal and the twins there and stuff. And I was like, no, I think I do. I think it's time. And he said, well, I would really love for you to stay and show all the new girls the ropes and that kind of thing. And I said, well, I'd be happy to stick around longer if you wanted me to, but, I mean, I definitely want to date and, right, you know, with Nick and stuff. And I want to do that. And he said, oh, well, I can't let you do that. That would make me look like a fool.
That's crazy. Wow. It does send me. He definitely was very controlling and tried to keep everyone under his thumb in a very unhealthy way. That's even though you were able to bypass a lot of it, that's fucking weird shit. It really is. God damn it.
I told them, I don't think it would make you look like a fool. I think it would make you look like a cool boyfriend, ex-boyfriend,
who cares and wants
to continue the show. And right, it's a win-win-win for everybody. The show, for you, for your new girlfriends, for me, for, you know, for everybody. But he didn't see it like that.
Yeah, that so would have been like, so much cooler. It's like, yeah, we're still friends. She's got a boyfriend. Who gives a fuck? That would be the right way to
exactly
do it.
Exactly, right? That's what I thought. But he was just like, no way on that. And I'm like, okay, then it is time for me to move on.
Right. That's wow. Okay. Did you two invite you and Holly? Have you invited Kendra to do Girls Next Level with you?
Not yet, because all of our episodes so far have been before she's even there yet.
Okay. But you think you will?
She's welcome to. I don't know that she would, but I would love to have her on.
Right. And also, by the way, you were in one of my favorite shows of all time. You were in Curb Your Enthusiasm for one episode. So we have Jeff Garland coming in the studio soon. Susie Essman's done the show before, but it's just coolest shit that you got to be. Talk about a phenomenal thing to say that you were able to do. That's right? Just cool as shit that you did that.
And that was one of the most fun experiences too, filming that. We filmed a lot of different things, but that one was so much fun.
That's cool as shit. I mean, that's just, I think we almost everyone on the planet's their favorite thing. Yes, James?
No, I remember the episode now. That was the green jacket shit. Yeah.
Smoking jacket.
Yeah, it's so great. It's so wild. And then my last question, then we'll go to the first. Again, if I have to know if this is true or not, because it just seems so batshit crazy that Hef, you said this in an interview, had a black book to mark off the last time he was with a girl. And if too much time went by, he would come and say, all right, look, according to the book, you haven't doinked me in 2 weeks or whatever it is. Is that is real?
That's real. Yeah. He had a little black book that he would mark off. Everyone's name was in it that he had slept with. And he would mark off when, you know, the dates when it was. And then also when you came to get, you had to go in to ask for allowance that he gave us once a week. Mm-hmm. He would mark off when you got it. And then he'd also look and be like, if everything was cool, or like, it's been 3 weeks. That's a really long period.
Wow.
This is
it's fucking wild. It's wild. That is really wild. Yes, James.
I'm speechless. I'm never going to pick up a Playboy, old Playboy. I'm done. I can't.
How about this?
I'm switching to Penthouse. Guccione, you got my dollar, dog.
Serious,
I don't even know if he's alive.
Here.
The family gets the money. I used to read Spin anyway. Fuck him. All right.
And this is maybe, and again, a sensitive question, but did you three go to this funeral?
I would have in a heartbeat. I was not invited.
Wow. What the fuck? So weird.
I'm doubling down on my last comment. I'm doubling down.
So fucking weird. God damn it.
It was weird because there was one thing about Hef that I can say for certain is he loved all of his ex-girlfriends. Mm-hmm. And I feel like there's nothing he would have wanted more than for all of us to be there.
That's fucking really strange. Was it a very small funeral? Like just family? Or was it that they just snubbed you specifically, the three of you?
I mean, I've seen video and pictures and it was a huge tent in the backyard. Jesus. I mean, there was, you know,
It's
fucking weird.
My heart's broken, Bridget.
My heart was broken when that happened too. I was I can't believe this.
That's
Can I ask real quick, whose decision do you think that was?
I have speculation, but I don't know. So I shouldn't say.
But I will say this, Bridget, in watching a shit ton of your videos over the past few weeks, you are the most respectful person I've ever met about other people. You never talk shit about anyone. You always say, you know, it's not my place to talk, assume other. I give you all the credit in the world. You come off fucking incredible in every interview. It is really impressive. I want to give you kudos on that.
Thank you so much.
You don't see that a lot. So it's admirable. Let's do the first, Shannon, okay?
The first. did drugs, had sex.
The name of the show is the STR Show, Sex, Drugs, and Rock and Roll Show. We've asked every guest this question or these three questions since the dawn of time, their first experience with all three. We start with rock and roll, and we just mean the first concert you went to. Doesn't have to be a rock concert, whatever it was, just the concert you went to on your own volition, not one that your parents drove you to or, you know, Wednesday, I want to go see this.
Okay. My first concert was Metallica, Guns N' Roses at the Oakland Coliseum.
God damn it. What a great
one. And it was wild.
That's awesome.
And I have a t-shirt to prove it.
How old were you?
Oh, God. I don't even know how old I was. I have to look at the t-shirt and see what year that was and then do the math.
Forgot what year that tour was. But let me ask you, on that topic, I imagine during your tenure at the Playboy Mansion, you met every fucking rock star imaginable, right? I mean, you had to have, right?
We met some for sure, yeah.
There were some
that were there a lot. Gene Simmons is there a lot.
Well, that's shocking. No. I always heard there were two types of parties. There were the parties that people could buy their way into, like, you know, corporate or whatever. And then there were the real parties that's where, like, they were much more fun. But if you didn't know someone directly, there's no fucking way you were getting in. Is that right?
That is true. So there, you could rent the Playboy Mansion and have like a corporate event outside. And they would sell tickets sometimes, or they were charity events or things like that going on. Hef did not attend those. We didn't go out for those. You could hire playmates to work them if you want, but they're just basically in the backyard. And then there's Hef's parties, which are invite only, strict guests. If you're a guy, good luck. I don't even know how you would attempt to get on a list. If you're a girl, you had to submit photos and be accepted.
There were stories of guys trying to like hide in the trunk of a car and people trying to figure out ways to get in this fucking parties, right?
Oh, yeah, 100%. There was all kinds of things caught.
That's wild.
Scaling fences. And
1 year I came almost close to going to the, Halloween one. It was the year.
That's my favorite.
I was on a TV show 100 years ago called Queer Eye for the Straight Guy.
Yeah.
And that episode was the most watched episode. And a girl I knew was involved with Playboy somehow. I don't remember exactly, so many fucking years ago. And she had spoken to them, someone there that knew me. And apparently someone there was a fan of that episode. So I got like, you know, on a scale of 1 to 10, I at least made it to the third position of almost going, but I never got past that. That's as far as I got. But it was just to know that it almost happened made me happy. Okay,
Halloween parties are the best too. Well,
I would never know now. That's the bottom line. All right, so now
we missed our chance, Ralph.
The first drug you ever did after weed, unless weed wasn't your first drug, or if weed was the only drug.
Weed was the only drug I did at that time. If you're talking about the mansion time, but if you're talking about ever. Let's see here. It would have been, because I haven't done that many. It has to be Molly.
Molly. All right. Did we love it?
No, I had a bad experience. It took forever to kick in. I don't know if it's because I had a full stomach. Like we just ate dinner and then we took it. So I don't know if that's not a good way to do it. But it took forever. And then I was about ready to like call it a night and go to bed when all of a sudden, when they say they're rolling, I was rolling. Like it felt like I was on like a boat and like I was moving like this, to the point I put on C bands on my wrist.
Oh man. Really?
I was sitting on the couch going, I'm going to throw up. I'm going to throw up. I'm going to throw up.
Oh my God. That's crazy. So it was a one-time thing.
One time. I mean, I'm told that was just a bad experience and that it's better than that. And I should try it again, but I don't know.
No, that's pretty wild. Okay. Now, what about the first time you had sex?
First time I had sex, I was almost 17. So 16. I was trying to wait till I was 17, but there was a lot of pressure. And it was after like I don't know if it was prom, but one of those dances and stuff. And my boyfriend was much older. So yeah, I guess I'm into older guys.
When you say much older, like 20?
He was 23.
Okay. Well, that's pretty chunky at that time at 16. Yeah, that's pretty well.
You said pretty chunky.
It's a good chunk of years. It's a good chunk of years. That's what I meant by that. Yeah.
And it was at some stupid motel room.
Was it beautiful or was it just glad you got it over with, or was it somewhere in between?
It wasn't beautiful. It was kind of painful, I guess. Not that exciting.
Okay, fair enough.
Quick.
Yeah, it sounds like sex with me today, by the way.
Oh, no. Yeah.
After the vegan food. Why were you waiting for 17? Is it because of the great Winger song from the late 80s?
No, but song. Have you seen that video lately?
Not only have I seen that video, I worked out to that song yesterday, and I go, this should not have happened. This song, right? We've interviewed Kip, should not have happened.
We've interviewed Kip. I know Kip is. He said we should change the song to She's Only 48 Now, because that's really what it is now.
It's unbelievable. If you watch the video, it's very stalker and scary.
Yeah.
Like, it's bad. I forgot the question. I was thinking about
You just said the first time you had to say, you answered it. That's fine.
Wait, why I was waiting till 17?
Oh, yeah, 17. Yeah,
I don't know. Just in my head, I just thought I wanted to be 17. I was growing up, I was very shy, like holding hands, like my face would turn red and couldn't even make eye contact. Like I didn't have my first kiss till I was 16. Like I just was
16 was a big year from kissing to doinking in the same year. It's pretty good.
I was very shy.
It's pretty impressive.
Ralph, I love you. Chunky. Fucking chunky, Ralph. Doinking, chunky. This is unbelievable.
I'm 100 years old. What do you want?
Listen, I give up
old-timey expression. Okay, so the new podcast with Holly you do together is called Girls Next Level. Ghost Magnet is the one where you do all the ghost stories that I'm sure Shannon's going to be a big fan of as well. I know it's not right now, but you're a couple of weeks away. Happy early birthday. It's coming up in a few weeks.
Thank you.
And everyone can follow you on Instagram at Bridget Marquardt, which is ending in a court but spelled with a D right before the T, make it easy to follow there. Anything else you want to plug before we go around the room and do our plugs?
I think that's it. That's good.
James,
the James Madden on Instagram and YouTube. Check out the Check Spot on YouTube. It's me performing the worst part of the show where everyone pays their bills and pays no attention. I'm also releasing shorts on YouTube and reels of it on Instagram, and I'll be with Chris DiStefano a lot in this fall. Go to chrisdcomedy.com. I'll be in England and Ireland with him, and it's going to be a lot of
trouble. When are you going to be in England? When are you going to be in England?
October 6th.
Because I'm going to be there the last week of
September. We're going to go some football games. We're going to go to probably English prison. It's going to be a lot of fun.
We get it. You're so manly. All right, Shannon, your plugs.
You can follow me on
manliest.
You can follow me on Instagram at ShannonLee6982 and listen to my podcast, The Thing Is Ding. We talk about bad dates, fighting, and ghosts. We have all sorts of interesting guests come on, comedians, musicians, reality TV stars, porn stars, and they tell their own personal stories about the worst date they've ever been on, a time they got into a street fight, and an experience with the paranormal. And we're actually going on our first ghost hunt this coming week.
Yeah, that's exciting. They're taking a couple of comedians, a couple other people. How many are you in total? I think it's six.
There's eight with the crew.
Eight with the crew. And they're doing an overnight at a haunted castle or something, right? With the whole camera crew. It's pretty wild.
Where?
I'll tell you off camera.
It's got to be, that's pretty wild. I'm excited for that. And Shannon, we normally, by the way, Bridget, end the show by asking if our guests believe in ghosts, but I don't think we need to ask that one this time. I think we figured out that answer. But man, that's pretty cool. All right. So follow me everywhere at I Am Ralph Sutton, my other podcast that is a health and wellness podcast currently in the top 70 of iTunes. It's called The Good Sugar Podcast. And our first location is opening on 3rd Avenue and 69th Street in October. So come down and check it out and have some healthy vegan food, even though I'm not vegan, but Shannon is. And we share recipes all the time. And that is it. Bridget, thank you so much. We add a song of the week every week to the playlist. I feel like we got to add a Guns or Metallica song. Do you have a favorite one?
You can add Rosemary Clooney's Come On to My House.
All right, we'll do that then. That's a good song. Let's do that. And thank you so much for coming on. It was honestly a real pleasure to have you on.
Fun.
Thank you so much, you guys.
Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you candy. Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you apple, plum, and every kind of thing. Come on to my house, come on. Come on to my house, come on. Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you figs and dates and grapes and cakes. Come on to my house, come on. Come on to my house, come on. Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you candy. Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you everything. Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you marriage ring and the pomegranate. Come on to my house, come on. Come on to my house, come on. Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you peach and pear and I love your hair. Come on to my house, come on. Come on to my house, come on. Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you east side. Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you everything, everything, everything. Come on to my house.
You've been listening to the SDR Show.